This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل: وما أرسلنا من رسول إلا بلسان قومه ليبين لهم فيضل الله من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء وهو العزيز الحكيم. ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا أن أخرج قومك من الظلمات إلى النور وذكرهم بأيام الله إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور. The series that I am sharing with you over the course of this month, the month of August, is to talk about outreach, as the month of August is our outreach month, where we hope people take upon themselves the responsibility and the obligation of performing da'wah and outreach to Muslims first and to non-Muslims second, and to bring them into their masajid, to the centers of their communities, as the masajid should be, and to learn the importance of this function. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this the function of the prophets. Those whom he loved the most were given the function of performing da'wah, and it lies upon us as Muslims after he left us alayhi salatu wasalam with his body for us to continue to carry this after he taught us the legacy alayhi salatu wasalam. But I have to be honest with you, I find it extremely difficult to talk about this topic in the midst of what we continue to watch and observe happening in the Holy Land and other parts of the Muslim world. And what we have learned over these 10 months, there are some lessons. When this ends, there will be lessons that we have to share amongst each other. And I feel I can't do it in the midst of it all. I can't bring myself to talk about what we've learned throughout these 10 months until it stops, until somehow there's a ceasefire, so that we can at least talk about what we've learned. But we have for sure learned that whatever international laws exist in this world, they only exist for us. They just exist to control the other. It doesn't exist for them. Whatever laws in courts and whatever preventative measures that they have put and regulatory measures they put in this world, they don't apply to them. They apply to people like us only. Only when someone like us crosses the line that these measures become important. Does everyone actually take interest, and does law and order and ethics and human rights actually become important? But as long as it's not us violating it, if they violate it, then it's fine. And the world is not a healthy place if this is how we function in it. The world is not a healthy place for anyone, even for the oppressor, if that's how people are going to function within it. Changing this element, changing this fact is important for everyone. It's important for the long-term existence and well-being of all of humanity, even the oppressors. Even the oppressors. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell people, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. I never oppressed you, you oppressed yourselves. You oppressed yourselves. That's what happened. You made the mistake yourself. You oppressed yourself. And now I'm going to hold you accountable for the mistakes that you made and for the people that you hurt. Amongst many other lessons that we have unfortunately learned. Things that we knew but we just didn't want to believe. Because as Muslims, there's an aspect of us that's optimistic and that is loving of khayr to the point where we would like to believe that the world still has khayr in it. And that goodness is still there. But it's hard to see that amongst tons and tons of rubble, through all of the torn pieces of women and children, and through all the blood that has been spilled unjustly in the Holy Land. Nonetheless, outreach and da'wah is a part of Islam that may seem as irrelevant, but it is not. To this cause, I mean. To this cause, the concept of outreach is relevant. It may not directly change the outcome, but indirectly it for sure will. Indirectly, there is nothing that is more effective, that is more impactful than da'wah. There's never been anything more impactful than da'wah, historically. This is why I stand here and I look at people from every race and from every culture and from every walk of life and every part of the world. It's because our ancestors, our predecessors, those who came before us, performed da'wah and spread Islam all across the globe so that we could enjoy what it is. The verse that I shared with you, or the two verses I shared with you at the beginning of this khutbah, let's start. There are two points I want to make from them. Let's start with the first point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed I sent Musa with my signs. And I told him the following. I told him the following. An akhrij qawmaka, remove your people, min al-dhulumati ila an-nur, from a state of darkness to a state of enlightenment. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa to do. Here are my signs. Here are my teachings. Here is the Torah. Here's all that I want humanity to do and not to do. Go ahead. Remove your people from a state of loss, of darkness, of aimlessness, to a state where they can be enlightened, where they can walk their path and they see where they're going and they have enough light in their hearts and through their eyes and that they know what is coming next and what they are headed towards. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. He gave us nur. He gave us enlightenment. This is what He gave us. You have to see it as such. And if you don't see it as such, there is something wrong with the way you're looking at it. This is a fundamental flaw that a lot of us as Muslims will carry with us for a long period of time, where we don't see these rulings, these teachings, the lists of do's and the lists of don'ts as a method to achieve enlightenment. We don't see it that way. We see it as just a rule, a bunch of rules. Don't do this and do that. But why do these rules exist? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harmed by our sin and does not benefit from our good deeds, then why would these rules exist to begin with? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harmed by anything, nor benefited by anything, then why would these rules exist? Does He have nothing else to do? Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa jalla jalaluhu. Why is He telling us to do this? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because jalla jalaluhu knows what is in our best interest. He knows what works for us. As individuals, He knows what behaviors will lead inevitably to harm and to loss. Whether you end up harming yourself or you end up harming others, it makes no difference. He knows what steps you take that will lead inevitably to dhulm, and what steps you take will lead inevitably to peace and to goodness and to khair. So when He commands us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's commanding us for us. He's commanding us for us so that we can be enlightened. Because we can't go back to where, we can't go and be with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala without enlightenment. You want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second phase of your life or existence after you move away from this one. You want to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think a being of darkness is going to be there. No, a being that was enlightened in this world, a creature of enlightenment will make it to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His mercy and His love. That enlightenment requires adhering to His teachings, learning the legacy of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and taking to heart what the Quran is telling us. This is the point of all of this. In order for us to take da'wah to others that way, we have to see it like that for ourselves first. Unfortunately, we have to see it that way for ourselves first. If you don't see that, if you don't see Islam to be the only way out of a state of darkness to the state of enlightenment, then there's something fundamentally missing. As Muslims, if we don't look around and say, these are dark times, Yashikh. These are dark times. These are some of the darkest times that we have witnessed as an ummah that's been living for the last maybe 50, 60 years. We've seen worse historically if you go back far enough in history. But these are pretty dark times. How do we get to a point? How do we get to a state of enlightenment? Where is the nur? Where is the nur? Where am I looking? Show me the light at the end of the tunnel. Show me the tunnel and then show me the light at the end of it so that I have some motivation to walk and to tell others to walk with me. Or else what are we doing? There's no benefit in walking in darkness. It doesn't matter when you see nothing. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter how quickly you go there. It doesn't make a difference. You have no idea where the destination is. It's only when you see the light that you can say, okay, now I know. Only then can you start making steps and taking those steps and making decisions that will take you to the light. That's what Allah told Musa. Musa, go, remove your people. Remove them from dhulumat to nur. May they see the light. May they enjoy what I give them. May they find the enlightenment in their hearts, in their souls, in their bodies, in their communities, in their societies. May they see it short term. May they see it long term. May they enjoy it. May they embrace my light and bathe in it. That is what we tell people when we perform dawah. But then the question that you have to answer is, well, why isn't it working for you then? If it's so filled with light, well, why aren't you enlightened? Why isn't your community filled with enlightenment? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Are you going to call people towards the best of behaviors? and forget to call yourselves first as you recite the book, as you're reading the book? You're going to start by telling others to do this before you do it? You have no reasoning at all? Is there no reasoning at all here? You're going to call others to follow this before you do, and you have access to it? Allahu Akbar. How does that work? As much as we must emphasize da'wah and outreach, the first step of da'wah, the first step is acknowledging that what you carry in your hand every day when you sit and read, what you have on the shelf over there, the person whom you follow, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the embodiment of enlightenment. That it is your path to enlightenment. That without that, there is no light. Without it, there is no light. And the first person that should embrace it, fall in love with it, take it to heart, is you. And then you start performing da'wah. The first step is taking it for yourself. You don't have to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not standing here to say you need to be... No. I'm just saying that you have to see it that way. Do you see it that way? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what could have been. He said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ And I talked about this last week. Another hypothetical from Allah. Another hypothetical. قَالْ وَلَوْ أَنَّ كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنِقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا وَإِذَا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا ذَلِكَ الْفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا Said, if I wanted to, this was saying, I didn't. He didn't. But if he wanted to, he could have commanded you to kill yourselves or to remove yourselves from your countries at all for no reason. A human being wants to live, and when they want to live, where they want to live. For you to tell them, don't live or go live somewhere you don't want to live. This is taking away what the human being is trying to do. What you're trying to do is live as long as possible and live in a place that you would like to enjoy living in. If we told them to not do these things, very few of them would have done it because it's not beneficial, but we didn't. He's saying, I didn't tell you not to do something that is not beneficial to you. I did not command you to do something that is harmful to you. And if I did, very few of you would have listened. Very few of you would have listened to me. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ And if you just listened to what I actually told you to do, if you just followed what I actually told you to do, that was helpful to that, the wa'av, the actual encouragement of goodness that I gave you, that would have been better for you. لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا would have strengthened you. And I would have guided you. I would have granted you guidance. The ultimate goal, you would have been granted guidance. SubhanAllah. The first step that we need to take in order for us to take what we have and spread it amongst others is that the enlightenment within it has to reach our own souls. You have to see it as enlightenment. And if you're not following it, you have to feel that there's something missing, that you're in a state of darkness. May we change that. May we remove ourselves from a state of darkness through the teachings of Allah to a state of enlightenment so that we may take that and offer it to others who would love it, who would love to be enlightened, who would love to be enlightened. In dunya, if you do that, it reflects yawm al-qiyamah. It reflects يوم القيامة يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا انظرونا On the day of judgment, the hypocrites, male and female, will say to the believers, can you slow down? They're on the sirat. One of the moments where the Prophet ﷺ says, no one knows anyone. You don't remember your children, your father, your mother, your spouse. You don't remember, you barely know yourself the moment of the sirat because you're not sure, are you going to make it to the other side or not? So the hypocrites start calling upon the believers, slow down, انظرونا, نقتبس من نوركم. You have light. Somehow you have light. We don't have light. Can you wait so we can use your light because we can't see in front of us? قيل ارجعوا وراءكم. The malaika say, look behind you. Or go behind. ارجعوا وراءكم. Go back. To where? They look back literally. Yeah? But that's not what the malaika meant. The malaika meant go back to life. Go back to dunya. Your nur, yawm al-qiyamah, is going to be obtained here. You can't buy a flashlight, yawm al-qiyamah, to get you across the sirat. You have to buy it here. You have to take your nur with you, yawm al-qiyamah, so you can see, so you can make it to where you're, to your destination, or else you don't see. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani protect us. Yeah. Yawm al-qiyamah, the nur that you carry is the nur that you built in dunya. The nur in dunya comes from that book. It comes from learning and understanding and then spreading it. And the more you spread it, the more you embrace it. And the more you embrace it, the more you spread it. And this becomes the virtuous cycle of being a Muslim, a performing da'wah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، ألا إن الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من أجل الأعمال وهو عمل الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اختصهم الله سبحانه وتعالى بفضله ومنه وجعلهم خلفاءه في الأرض يدعون إلى سبيله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى في سورة النحل: ادعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. فاعلموا يا إخواني أن أول خطوة في الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن تلتزم أمر الله جل جلاله، أن ترى هذا الذي قد أنزله على حبيبه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نورا مبينا، أن تراه صلى الله عليه وسلم سراجا منيرا ينير طريقك وينير قلبك وفؤادك ونفسك. فإذا لم ترى هذا الهدي النبوي ولم ترى الكلام الرباني على أنه نور يخرج الناس من ظلماتهم، فقد بدأ العجز من عندك. فإن الإنسان لا يقوى على الدعوة إلى الله إذا كان لا يرى الذي بين يديه نورا، إذا لم يكن قد أخذ لنفسه. ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور، فما له من نور، ما من نور في هذه الحياة إلا النور الذي في هذا الكتاب. تأخذه لنفسك تراه نور الله، ثم تأخذه إلى غيرك. أول خطوة في الدعوة إلى الله أن تلتزم هذا النور الذي بين يديك. The second piece I want to share with you today, and I'll end with this inshallah. He said at the beginning of the verses that I recited at the beginning of the khutbah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. That whenever we sent, this is what he's saying subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've never sent a prophet except that they spoke the language or the tongue of the people he was sent to. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, so that he may clarify things for them. Within this is an important teaching point. And I'm not here to talk about the importance of the Arabic language. That's something that we'll cover in a different series altogether. Here I'm talking about the importance of proper communication. For da'wah to work, you have to have proper communication. You have to know how to speak to the people you're speaking to. You have to know your audience well. If you don't know your audience, you don't know how to speak with them, then you will not be able to actually affect them or impact them positively. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam knew how to speak to the people he was sent to speak to alayhi salatu wasalam. And he taught his sahaba how to do that with them as well. And today as Muslims, we have to learn this piece again. We have to relearn this piece. We have to relearn how to perform this basic function of Islam, which is speaking to people, which is performing da'wah to people, which is spreading Islam to others, knowing how to do it. The ayah tells us, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with kind reminders, and then argue with them with the best intention possible, using the best arguments possible, with the best manners possible. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to call to His way. We don't do this by offending other people, by judging them, by pushing them, by repelling them and pushing them farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't believe that this is the right way to do it, then you just haven't studied His life, alayhi salatu wasalam, forgive me. You just haven't read how he did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you read how he did it, then this would not be something surprising to you, nor would you have to listen to it and wonder if everything that I'm saying is correct or not. Alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting in the masjid, he's talking to people. The hadith was sahihain, and a man walks in, and he goes to the end, to a part of the masjid, and he pulls his trousers down, and he pees in the middle of the masjid. He urinates in the house of Allah. Not any house of Allah. He urinates in Masjid al-Nabawi, the place that you go after your Umrah, so you can go give him salam, alayhi salatu wasalam. one of the three masajid that have specific weight within our deen. He would walk in and he would urinate in the middle of the masjid. So he'd go to him alayhi salatu wasalam, he'd talk to him. يا أخي ما جعل هذا المكان لمثل هذا أفرغ عليه دلوا من الماء. This place is not for these type of things. Pour water, you clean it up. يقول الأعرابي, the person who did this, بعد أن فقه, after he had learned, after he, you know, was educated in Islam, because he looked back and said, I can't believe, what was I, how did I do that? Like how, years later, after he looked back, like I don't know how. يقول بأبي هو وأمي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That may Allah make me the ransom for him, with myself and my family for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. أتاني فلم يؤنب ولم يضرب ولم يعاتب. He came to me, he didn't chastise me, he didn't yell at me, he didn't make a fool of me. فعلمني, he just taught me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone urinated in the masjid. Not some kid came in and made noise. Now some guy walked in, wasn't dressed the way he should be, or the lady walked in, wasn't covered. No, a person walked in and spilled najasa from his body in the middle of the masjid. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told everyone, sit down, leave me alone, sit down, I'll take care of it. He goes, he speaks to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's how he does it. That's how he does it. Alayhi salatu wasalam is trying to give the ghanaim away to people. He's giving wealth away. And some man, it's a long story, some man comes in and he speaks to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the most disrespectful way possible. The Sahaba lose their minds. They want off, this is a hadith in Musnad al-Bazzar. They want off with his head. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would take him and continue to give him and offer him until the man is happy and satisfied. And once he's happy and satisfied, tells him, come with me, say something nice in front of the Sahaba, because they have carried in their hearts against you. So he would come out and he would say something nice. And then the Prophet ﷺ would say the following, and this is what I'm telling you this story for. He would say the following. قَالَ مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ هَذَا الْأَعْرَابِي كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ شَرَدَتْ لَهُ نَاقَةٌ فَذَهَبَ النَّاسُ يَلْحَقُونَهَا فَمَا زَادُوهَا إِلَّا نُفُورًا. My example of me and this man over here that you guys were ready to chop his head off when he said what he said and did what he did is the example of a man who lost his camel, and the people wanted to get his camel for him. Every time they went after the camel, they only repelled the camel more. The camel just went farther and farther away. يَقُولُ لَهُمْ دَعُونِي وَنَاقَتِي. Just leave my camel for me. فَأَخَذَ مِنْ قُشَامِ الْأَرْضِ فَهَزَّ يَدَهُ فَأَتَتْهُ النَّاقَ. So the man picked up a little bit of grass from the ground, and he moved his hand a bit, and the naqa came running to him. قَالَ وَلَوْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ وَمَا أَرَدْتُمْ بَعْدَ أَنْ قَالَ مَا قَالَ لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ. And if I let you do what you wanted to do to him after he did what he did, he would have went to Jahannam. He would have went in the opposite direction. صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. This is how he taught us to do da'wah. Know the people you're speaking to. Know what they need, what they require, what they struggle with, where they are in their lives. What is it that they would benefit from? And speak to them use their language, not just the words of the language, but the attitude of the language and the perspective of the language. And if you don't know how, then find another way to perform da'wah. Not everyone has to do it verbally. Not everyone has to do da'wah verbally. There are a million ways to do da'wah. Not all of them have to be verbally. If you don't know how to do this piece, Allah emphasizes, بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ. We didn't send them, they had to speak the language well. They had to know how to speak their language, because if they don't speak their language, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. The biggest worry of the Anbiya Yawm Al-Qiyamah is that. Have you not read Surah Nuh? Read Surah Nuh. Listen to, imagine yourself walking, standing behind Nuh Yawm Al-Qiyamah as he prepares his argument. As he prepares his argument in front of Allah, why he didn't come with all of his people, why he only had 72 after years and years of da'wah. رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ. All these Nuh is telling you, Rabb, this is what I did. I spent all my time, I spoke to them openly, I spoke to them privately, I spoke to them publicly, I spoke to them in groups, I spoke to them individually, I spoke to them at night and during the day, I came to them in every angle, and I told them the good things. So he had to tell Allah what the content was. What do you tell them, Ya Nuh? I told them, استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفار. I told them how much you forgive. I told them that you are the one who forgives the most, that all they have to do is ask you for your forgiveness, and you will open the doors of the skies for them. I reminded them of your glory, of your grace. He had to tell Allah what he said because Allah said, well, okay, there, I can see that there's a quantity of work. Show me the quality of your work. Yes, you spoke to them day and night. Great. What did you say to them? Because if the quality doesn't work, then if the quality wasn't good, then we have a problem. So then Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam has to explain. If Nuh has to do that, then what are we going to say? Those are the 2 points I wanted to share with you for this week. Number one, you have to acknowledge what you have as light, as enlightenment. You have to take it, embrace it for yourself so that people can see it through you. So people can feel the love that you have for it and the embracement that you have shown towards and the adherence that you have with it. And the second piece, you must speak to people the way they'll understand what is said to them. You have to choose the moments and choose the time and choose the way and choose the person and the attitude and the perspective. All that has to be something you care for. Because what is the goal here? The goal is to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you this. He gifted you guidance. Khudh, here, for free. Here's the most valuable thing in the world. Here's guidance. How are you going to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that? Aside from taking it and trying to get others to see it as well. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي بنغلاديش وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين اللهم أخرج الصهاينة من أرض فلسطين ورد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات يا رب العالمين اللهم ردنا إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك الله اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعل